pretty much guaranteed that we're going to deal with temptation. Everyone is tempted. Everyone is going to be tempted, especially if they plan on serving God. And this is especially true during Lent, when we make a concerted effort to do some things, such as, you know, fasting on Ash Wednesday, fasting on Good Friday, or when we give up meat on Fridays. It's especially true now, because as soon as we decide to do something like this, as soon as we decide to abstain from the meat on Fridays, it all seems so much juicier, and so much, the bacon is so much more flavorful, right? And it seems all that much more absurd to decide to live without it. Why would I do this to myself? We say to ourselves, these are good things that God made for me. God made the bacon delicious for the sake of. We say to ourselves, he wouldn't want me to give it up, right? Indeed, they are. But there are higher goods. There are more important goods. And the higher the good that we are trying to attain, the more struggling, even the more suffering, the more temptations that we're going to have to deal with to abandon those higher goods and just settle for the lower ones. Settle for the lower ones. Status quo is easier. Chaos is easier than order. Just leave the room a mess. It's going to get messy again anyway. Floating downstream is easier than swimming upstream. Dead things float downstream. Swim upstream. How much more than just the food are the temptations that we have and that Jesus has in this? The temptations to power and to pride and to self-aggrandizement that we have that Jesus has here. But couldn't Jesus just go with whatever is suggested to him? Go with it, you know. Turn this stone into bread, you're hungry. Good idea. Couldn't he just also float downstream like a dead piece of driftwood? If he were anyone else, perhaps that temptation would have won him over. But Jesus is alive, and he knows the higher goods that he must reach for. For the sake of all the rest of us who are not as strong as he is, who can't swim upstream as well as he can. So he faces the temptation. All of us are going to be tempted, not just during Lent, but also in many aspects of our lives. And so all of us have to be ready for combat. All of us have to be ready to swim against the tide. St. Francis de Sales suggests that in order to combat temptation, one of the things we have to do is to not be idle. So, you know, idle hands are the devil's plaything, as the saying goes. So keep busy, but not by doing just anything. St. Francis de Sales says, keep busy by doing God's will. Now, for me, a good list to turn to when I'm not particularly busy with anything, and I need to keep from being idle, is the good list is the works of mercy. You know, the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. I mean, granted, some of them you can't just do on a whim, like bury the dead. You know, oh, I have an afternoon free. It doesn't work like that. But some of the other ones you can. I mean, certainly, you know, pray for the living and the dead can be done. Bear patiently with those who wrong us. It's an important one, a good one. Maybe shelter the homeless, or visit the sick, or feed the poor, or something. Those you can do easily. So keep busy by doing God's will, not just anything. Since Jesus was tempted and did not submit, he can help us when we're tempted to not submit. And so we have to have faith. Our temptations can be conquered, but conquered not by me alone, but by Jesus, or by Jesus and me together. Jesus and us conquering this together. Because there's a lot more on the line than just giving into the temptation to, whatever, eat chocolate when we've given it up for Lent, for example. We are tempted to so much more than just these, even the meat on Friday and the fasting on Ash Wednesday. We're tempted to so much more, especially to expressions of power, to asserting my will over others' will, or over God's will in particular, to exchanging true permanent goods for short-term apparent goods. We're tempted to just go with the short-term stuff, the easier stuff. The devil says to Jesus, do you want power over all the kingdoms of the earth? Well, that might be nice. That might be good. Great. All you have to do is to bow before me instead of before God. It's too big of a price to pay. In the end, this will do more harm than good, even if it looks good at the outset. And that's the thing, because all the temptations look good and look promising. Sometimes they look like a cure-all. Oh, that's the easy way out of this. That'll solve everything. It looks like a panacea. Sometimes it's something that just looks like a simple pleasure, but it's never that simple. I mean, how many people are stuck in addictions because they are one step at a time, one simple pleasure at a time, led away from the deeper goods of God and led instead to being a slave to one of these little apparent goods? And, you know, insert your favorite addiction here. How many of us become so accustomed to our little pleasures and distractions that we can't get through a day or two without them? Even if it is just, you know, bacon or breakfast food. How many of these things can have a hold of us and tempt us to just, you know, go with the flow rather than to work against it, to like the salmon who have a mission, swim upstream. There are so many more higher goods. And God knows that only by going to the nothingness of the desert, to the barrenness of the desert for a time, he knows that only by doing that do we realize what's most important. And this is why the Holy Spirit sends Jesus into the desert. This is why this barrenness and this suffering was intentional. The devil didn't bring him out to the desert. God sent him to the desert. It was on purpose. This is why even some of our own suffering may be intentional. This is why people like St. Anthony, the early church lived in the 100, 200s, I think, St. Anthony of the Desert, and the group called the Desert Fathers and Mothers, why these people went out to live in the desert and became hermits. Because free from distractions, it can bring clarity. It's why people even today go and become hermits, or go and live in a faraway monastery. Because free from distractions, it can bring clarity. And it can even make the devil's work more clear. It's more obvious that it's the devil's work and not just a nice little temptation, not just from God. So may this Lent be a time, a little time in the desert for each of us, these 40 days. And may it help to bring us freedom from all attachments, except for our attachment to God. And may it strengthen us in our resistance to that try to lead us into being slaves of these lower goods rather than connected to God, the one permanent true good.